So yeah, let's start with our seated posture, comfortable seated posture here, shoulders relaxed, spine tall. And just notice the breath, taking slightly slower, deeper breaths down to the lower belly. Bring the hands together at the heart, bowing the mind to the heart and to each other. And release the hands down. So we'll start with a restorative posture with the bolster towards the back of your mat and the blocks to the sides. So reclined bound angle pose. So the feet together and the knees onto the block. And then the bolster will come up to the tail, so you can lay the spine on the bolster. And then, you know, just so you feel like supported there, not too, that's too big on the, too big of a back bend, you can always scoot the bolster back, or it can give you a couple blankets to use instead of a bolster. And then you can use your blanket that you have as a weight on the hips, like a sandbag, or you could have the blanket like a support under the cervical vertebrae and the neck. Just make sure you feel comfortable, supported, relaxed, like you could stay here for a long time. So the vata quality, the air element, can be a lot of stimulation, experiences, ideas, creativity, and that can quickly turn to overstimulation, overactivity of the mind, if you're already that type of person. So the opposite of that would be like a sort of dullness and boredom at an extreme. So my own personal mantra this fall season has been, I'm willing to be bored. I'm okay if I'm bored. If I don't have ideas, if I'm not stimulated or learning something or doing something, it's okay. Right? I'm doing that most of the time all year round, so this time of year it's okay to kind of go within and have more time in stillness and quiet. This is where we can really digest our experiences and come to really deep realizations, and not just a bunch of scattered thoughts and ideas. All right, so we'll have that time today, more silence and stillness through the rest of the practice. And we'll stay here for a while, resting here. slowly start to transition from here. You'll eventually come down to your back. No props, just resting on the back. Neutral spine on the floor. And now from here, we'll bend the knees, feet on the floor. So the knees are bent as if you're going to bridge pose, but we're not going to do that right here. We're going to bring the hands to the hip bones and just a little bit in towards the pelvis. And you'll feel those muscles are relaxed. So the pelvic floor and the deepest core muscle, the transverse abdominis, it's like a corset along the belly that kind of supports all the organs. And it's the deepest core muscle. Supports the low back a lot as well. So we're going to do a little bit of strengthening of that to support the low back. So all you're going to do to engage it is lift your feet about an inch off the ground. And then lower the feet down and let it relax. And feel under your fingers those muscles relax. You can kind of poke around there. And then lift the feet again. Again, you could poke with the fingers and feel those muscles are engaged, the deepest core muscles. And then let the feet back down, let it relax, fully relaxed. And then one more time, lift the feet, contracting. And we'll hold this contraction of transverse abdominis, maintaining that strength, stability, supporting the back. And then let your feet down, but keep that contraction there just like that. So you have the ability to contract these muscles and then let the muscles relax. And again, without lifting the feet, contract those same muscles and relax those muscles. And again, contract and relax. One more time, contracting deep core pelvic floor muscles, holding that contraction. Now, if you want to add on to this, you could lift the legs up a little higher to parallel to the floor, 90 degrees. You could lift the shoulders and the head in. You could have the palms up beside you, sort of like a crunch, but low boat pose. You could extend the legs out straight if you want as well. It's Ardha Navasana. Holding, breathing here. So now we're using the hip flexors, the bigger core muscles. And then we'll let the knees hug into the body, rock side to side, massaging the low back. And then to the center, coming to stillness, one hand on each kneecap. And you could just have the legs here, you could cross at the ankles if you want, if that feels a little more stable. As you exhale, you'll pull the knees into the body, rounding the low back. As you inhale, you'll press the knees away, arching the low back off the floor. Let's continue this motion a few times, tilting the pelvis, and exhaling to come in and inhaling to go out. Good. It's a slow, kind of deliberate movement. Doesn't have to be very big or fast at all. Just feeling this connection of the pelvic floor, or the pelvis, to the lower back. So the lumbopelvic rhythm is what it's called. It's when the pelvis tilts one way, the back responds a certain way. So in this case, when the knees are in, the low back rounds. And then when the knees are out, the low back arches. The kind of thing where you might not feel a lot doing it now, but you'll know it's effective and you don't have back pain later today, tomorrow. And this is the kind of thing you can notice in any position. So when you're sitting in a chair, you can notice the tilt of the pelvis and how it affects the back, laying down, standing up. In any position, you can always be aware of the pelvis, and that has a big impact on the back pain. So we'll let the feet down to the floor. In the position of bridge pose, so the feet are hips width, and fingertips could touch the heels. So knees are over the ankles. So So from here, we'll create a movement of the spine. As you inhale, start to peel the spine up off the floor, lifting the hips. And again, this could be small movement. As you exhale, you'll lower back down one vertebrae at a time. So continue this motion, peeling the spine up the floor on the inhale, and then down on the exhale. Go at your own pace here. If you find a spot that feels really good to hold, you could stay there. Overall, we're feeling for some more mobility of the spine and also a connection of the breath and the body. Generally, in yoga practice, we want to practice within 60 to 80% of our capacities. That's where the most growth happens. Below that, we don't experience growth. Above that, we might experience pain and tension in the body and injury. But this time of year, it's okay to go down more to the 60% side of things and not push it too much. But more important, just have this time to sort of connect the body and breath, and this time to sort of center and ground and be with the body and not be in the head and not let the pull to do more tasks throughout the day kind of take over. And just take this time to really be with yourself. So next time you come up to bridge, we'll stay there, keeping a lift in the hips, a length in the spine. You could add on to this by pressing down into the triceps, lifting the heart a little bit more, squeezing the glutes more. This helps support the back as well. And even pushing down in the heels and energetically pulling back with the heels to contract the hamstrings. Right? This all helps support the low back a lot. And then we'll slowly lower the spine all the way back down. Let your feet come wide apart towards the edges of the mat, and the knees come left to right like windshield wipers. It's kind of rocking side to side in the legs. And if you feel good in one spot, you could stay there or just keep moving. Come back to center and grab one of your blocks, just to have the block nearby. And here we'll lift the hips up to a bridge pose, lengthening the spine, lifting the hips, and take your block at the lowest height, right underneath the pelvis. So wherever it feels most supportive, so not necessarily on the low back, but on the actual pelvic bowl, so you have a lot of support there. And just holding here in the supported bridge pose, feeling maybe there's some relief in the low back just by kind of sinking down into this. So the challenge, the sort of bad news about low back pain is that if you just go right for the low back and maybe try to stretch it or strengthen it, it doesn't usually work. It usually makes things a little worse. But the good news about the low back pain and issues is that it gives us a reason to make sure that everything around it is working really well. So the glutes, the hamstrings, the core, the hips, everything around that's got to be strong and flexible. And the low back pain is sort of a warning sign that something in that chain is a little weak or tight. So good news is it gives us an excuse to keep all this stuff strong and supple. And then our body just gives us a little feedback. Okay, you got to work on some of that if the back is hurting. So one of the things in that area is the psoas, connects the femur to the spine. So we'll release some of that tension here. So we'll bring the knees in, keep the right knee in, and let the left leg extend down to the floor. Your hands can hug the right knee in here, so you let the left leg just touch down to the floor and relax. So if you have a weak psoas, you'll want to keep that left leg lifted, strengthening it. If you have a tight psoas, you'll want to let the leg down to the floor, relaxing it. One way you can tell is just how it feels here with the left leg. If it feels kind of tight and tense just having this position, then let the leg relax down. So as we hold here, the exhales soften the belly. And so the psoas is actually even deeper than the transverse abdominals. You could technically call it a core muscle, and the deepest core muscle. And it can pull on the low back and create back pain if it's tense, or if it's weak, it could have issues. We'll switch legs here, left knee in and right leg extends. And again, you could keep the right leg hovering, strengthening there. If that feels kind of challenging, then that might be a good place to hold to work on strengthening there. If it feels kind of tense and tight though, let the leg down and let it relax. Usually one side of the body is a little tighter than the other. Then we'll bring both knees into the body. And then both legs extend towards the ceiling. And you may need to adjust your block a little bit here to do that. Very similar to legs up the wall, but we're using the block here. And the effect of this block on the low back is pretty significant. So usually by the end of this little sequence we're going to do, your low back might feel some relief. So we'll keep the legs vertical here for a little bit. Toes flex back towards the knee. If this is uncomfortable on your low back, just adjust the blocks. Maybe it goes a little higher or lower as you need it. And now as you hold here, you might start to feel some of the fluid, the lymph, draining down the legs. Really good for the immune system. The lymph doesn't have a pump, like the heart is your pump for your circulatory system, but the lymph is only moved and things are sort of moved through the system, detoxified by movement. So inversion is really good for the lymphatic system. We'll keep the left leg up and let the right leg lower, not to touch the floor, but floating off the floor. And then we'll switch legs. Right leg comes up, left leg straight out, but not touching the floor, but parallel to the floor. And then both legs vertical again. And then the legs out wide apart. And your hands could hold the thighs up here to support the legs, or you can just have the legs out. As always with everything we do, you can modify this if you want. If you want to make little movements and not be static, you can do that. And we'll let the legs back up to vertical. And then let the feet down to the floor. And my favorite part with this, now lift your hips and let your low back touch the floor and just see how it feels. To me, it feels like the low back just goes down like another inch to the ground. And it's kind of a soothing, relieving effect on the low back. And we'll do that movement again with the knees in, rounding the low back. It's called Apanasana. As you move the knees out, inhale, arching the low back. Continue with your breath a couple of times here, exhaling in, inhaling out. And then we'll let the feet back down to the floor. Again, bridge pose. We'll peel the spine up off the floor, lifting up and just hold there, contracting the glutes, strengthening glutes, hamstrings, pressing down in the triceps, lifting the hips. And then lower the spine all the way down. Feet wide apart to the edges of the mat, rocking side to side, rocking the knees. So if you don't go to a chiropractor, I can give you some recommendations. When I do this, the sequence, like my back feels so ready to crack, but but I've learned if I do it myself, sometimes it doesn't work out so well. Then I have to go get it corrected by a professional. But we'll come back to center here and roll onto your left side. So start to go into the hips a little bit more. So from here, let your right leg lift and start to make sort of circles, movements of the right hip. So we're lubricating the hip joint, going both directions. And then lift straight up with the leg and then back about 15 degrees. Well, you're very flexible, not that far up. So like just about here and then back, so reaching back. Keep the left leg straight if you can, the bottom leg, yeah. And even a little lower, so you're kind of more on the side and strengthening back here, yeah. And then reach the leg back, yeah. So it's the outer hip, the glute medius. It's a hip abductor that sort of it lifts the leg out from the center. And usually, if that's weak, that can cause low back pain as well. So reach the right arm in the opposite direction from the leg. It's creating a sort of side stretch there with that. Mm-hmm. You could even turn your chest a little bit towards the ground, just getting a little bit more into the side, the low back, the QL, which tends to be a little tight with low back pain as well. Just holding, breathing here for a moment. Did you say it was the right side, Beth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we'll let the right knee bend to the floor in front of you, all the way down to the ground, relaxing that outer hip. And now bend the bottom knee. So the left knee bends, reach for the top of the foot with the right hand. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So grab your bottom foot, the right leg. Yeah. Good. So you're getting a stretch on the quad, the hip flexor, and the right leg. Yeah. Are you? Yeah. It's your left leg. Sorry, I think I might have said the wrong side. It's your left leg. Just getting that stretch. And you could even add a little to this by turning the chest towards the ceiling, a little bit of a rotation of the spine here. Everything I say is optional, really, so if it doesn't feel right, you can always adjust. And then we'll release, come down to the back, into your right side. And then lifting the left leg up, and making some circles, movements of the leg here in both directions, focusing on the lubricating the hip joint. So it's a ball and socket joint. It's got a pretty wide range of motion. And then we'll reach the leg straight up and back about 15 degrees, and the left arm in the opposite direction. So the whole side's getting a stretch here. You could turn your chest towards the ground to add on to that, getting more into the lower back and cue out. Left knee bend to the floor. Right, so you're relaxing that outer hip. And then the bottom leg bends to reach for the top of the foot. Right, so feeling for the opening stretch in the front of the quad and the hip on the right leg. You can add a little rotation to the spine here, turning the chest towards the ceiling like you did on the other side. And come down to the back. And grab one of your blocks and put it between the thighs. So not too close to the groin, not too close to the knees, but right in the middle there, the sort of narrowest width, so it's not awkward shape. It's just like right between the legs, keeping the legs about hips width apart. And then we'll lift the feet, the legs here to 90 degrees with the block between the thighs. All right, so this helps engaging that pelvic floor, the transverse abdominis, the inner thighs, the adductors. And then we'll add on to this by lifting the shoulders and the palms up. So now we're just adding a little more engagement to this, a little more of the centering, grounding, warming quality. And now, just for fun, we're going to come over to one side and keep the block between the legs and come all the way to a down dog with the block. Good, right? Awesome. So holding there and maintaining that. And you can kind of shift weight a little left to right. You can press into all the knuckles. Now again, keep the block between the thighs here. Walk the feet forward and come up to the front of the mat. So we're all on the same page. You can go towards the face towards the middle of the room. Just coming back in. Yeah. And then here we'll bend in the knees and roll up to stand with the block between the legs still. So this can help us really notice, are the legs internally rotated or externally rotated? There's, you know, we can vary that. So turn your toes slightly in, a little exaggerating the internal rotation. And turn your toes slightly out, exaggerating the external rotation. Just notice what feels good on your hips, right? A little bit of either one is fine. And then here we'll reach the arms overhead. Catch your left wrist and reach to the right, keeping the block there between the legs. And we'll go back to center and catch the other wrist, reach to the left. And then back to center. And bend the elbows, heart opens. And here your legs could have a slight external rotation where the glutes contract and the block kind of pushes forward. This all helps support the low back. And then we'll reach the arms up, let the legs come more neutral. And then fold over the legs and have the legs slightly internally rotate so the block kind of pushes back. And then more neutral in the legs, bending the knees into a chair pose, hands at the heart or arms extending here. Have the fingers come together and notice how that affects the body. Maybe the body gets a little bit warmer just with the fingers together. And then we'll come back up to stand. And this time you can interlace the hands behind the back, lifting the heart, lengthening the spine. And again, you could externally rotate the legs slightly, contracting the glutes, pushing the block a little forward. And then we'll keep that with the hands and fold at the waist, the arms overhead. Release the hands down and waddle your way back to down dog. And then knees down. And finally remove the block. And let your knees wide apart to a child's pose, hips to heels, resting towards the ground. And we'll start to come back up here and make our way to the back. We're going to go to pigeon pose on the back, but if you want to do the upright version, you can do that with the right knee forward. Otherwise, we'll go down to the back and cross the right ankle over the left thigh for pigeon. Have the hands, the right arm between the legs to grab the hands, yeah. Shoulders relaxed, neck relaxed. And you can move the ankles and toes around here. You could stay still. And again, we'll go into holding the postures a little bit longer. We'll slowly start to release and go to pigeon on the other side. If there's any movements you want to make in between, please do. We'll start to transition down to the back. So we'll all come to the back with the knees hugging in, just rocking side to side on the back. And we'll do that movement, Apanasana, again with the hands on the knees in the center, and just pressing the knees away as you inhale, pull the knees in as you exhale. Just moving forward and back with the knees, rounding and arching the low back. And then feet down to the floor. And just lift the feet a little bit off the ground, contracting those deep core muscles, stabilizers. Hug the right knee in and let the left leg extend out. Right knee towards the right shoulder. And then come across the body into a twist. And you could stay just like that, or you could stack the knees or even cross the knees into a deeper twist here. Arms can come out into a T or goalpost and turn the head away from the knees. Come back to center and both knees into the body, rocking a little side to side. Keep the left knee in and let the right leg extend out. And then come across the body. And you can either just keep the knees like that, one knee over, or cross the knees, stack the knees, whatever feels right. Shoulders towards the ground, turning the head away from the knee. Back to center. And both knees in for happy baby pose, holding outside the knees or the feet. Shoulders and neck relaxed. And then and the soles of the feet together all the way down to the ground in Supta Baddha Konasana, supine bound angle like we started, but this time we don't have any props, so we're just on the floor. And maybe the knees, hips can relax a little more, maybe the spine can relax a little more. You could have the arms beside you, or one hand on the belly, one hand on the heart, just feeling the gentle rise and fall of the breath. So as we have moved the whole body and brought some more awareness, openness to the whole body, we can begin to become aware of our experience of the body. And that way we become more identified with the sort of witnessing, observing consciousness of the body, and not just the sensations, the thoughts, the feelings of the body, but we can kind of see it and observe it and witness it. This is one of the main teachings of yoga, to be able to witness our experience and notice the thoughts, notice the sensations in the body, and not be reactive to them, and to make choices of how to respond to the sensations and thoughts that arise. So we'll let the legs straight out and set up for our last resting pose. You could have a bolster under the knees. You could do legs up the wall, or just laying flat on your back with the legs out. And so take your time to get set up and comfortable. Let the back of the body become heavy, grounded. The front of the body light, open, relaxed. Resting in stillness and quiet in this observing, witnessing awareness. You're noticing the breath. Noticing the body resting here. start to move the hands and feet, arms and legs, and eventually coming over to one side and back up to seated. And we'll close our practice with the hands together at the heart, bowing the mind to the heart and to each other. Thank you for practicing today. Namaste.